Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. You're now listening live on the blog to the Ben Solomon Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, today I have an interesting subject, and we're talking about the problem. Is social justice a problem? And because specifically, we see a lot has been said about social justice, particularly on the left. They say social justice. And always with people, and I criticize the left a lot, and I'm going to do it on the show as well. Always we see that they like to come up with these nice-sounding names in terms of their solutions, but really in terms of their policies and what they want for the world to look like, but really it's usually the same. It's, you know, usually their solutions are very bad for the world, ultimately. Like, for instance, with communism, for instance, they say the people's this, the people's that. And, you know, it sounds nice, the people controlling everything. But what does it really mean, the people controls everything? You know, they always like to, you know, they always try to say, what does it mean? Well, for one thing, the question is, how does it work? You know, that, like, for China, for instance, which is much less communist now. I mean, it's communist in name only, pretty much, but there's a lot of capitalism in China in recent years. The Chinese army is called the People's Army, for instance, but it's anything but the people. But I've seen from, like, what happened in Tiananmen Square when the Chinese army cracked down on pro-democracy demonstrators. We see it was anything but a people's army. Specifically, you know, the important point is that, like, when you start a business, for instance, it's not the people that's yours. When you buy a product, it's not the people that's yours. And to say it's the people's is a form of robbery, in my viewpoint. So what does it really mean that people control this, people control that? When you say that people are the people's that, it opens the door to mob politics. That's why you see specifically the Founding Fathers rejected the idea of America being a democratic country, because they didn't want America to be like Athens, where like 600,000 people can vote to expel one guy. When you have the people in control of policy, where they can vote on what to do, you can have the majority take away the rights of the minority. You see, people, you can whip them up into a mob, and then boom, it's tough. And then what if, you know, the mob has enough votes to basically enact it as policy? See, that's the problem with, like, having the people in control of everything. But in these communist countries in particular, you see communism, every country that was taken over by communists, millions of people died, and always, whenever people had the chance to flee communist countries, they would flee with nothing but the clothes on their backs. Everywhere communism took over, Vietnam, Cuba, everywhere communism took over, it created massive refugee problems. And the people, whenever they had the chance to leave, they would leave. The only time when there wouldn't be a mass migration out of the communist countries was when people were stuck there. But always when they had a chance to get out, there would be a mass amount of people getting out. Because the fact of the matter is, you look at these communist countries, historic, like in the 20th century, and what they used to do is they used to accuse someone of, you know, exploiting the poor, supposedly, you know, being one of those capitalist exploiting pigs. And they put them before, you know, one of these kangaroo courts, which were nothing more than echo chambers, and then have that person shot, supposedly for exploiting the masses. They made a little more wealth or whatever, or the communist regime accused them of being, you know, these capital exploiters, and they were taken out and shot. Now, with the cultural Marxists today, we do not see people being taken out before firing squads. Thank goodness for that. Thank God for that. But what we do see instead is By the way, the chat window opens. So if you're listening live on your computer, there's a page. If you want to appear to chat, we have to reload the page. So we don't see mass firing, so as I said. What we do see is, you know, nevertheless, we do see that the cultural Marxists, including the SJWs, have indeed created a lot of damage. Specifically, this idea of white privilege is an example, you know, specifically this idea that, you know, it basically made racial relations worse, in my viewpoint. And the reason why it made racial relations worse is because, think about it, you tell a group of people they can't speak about, they can't say anything because they're privileged. Everything good in their life is because they're privileged. You know, they're automatically racist because they're white. And even if they can't say that they're racist, they're subconsciously racist. And everything good in their life is because of that privilege that benefits them at the expense of minorities. And that, and specifically being taught in these schools, specifically that's part of these so-called diversity programs, you see plenty of white kids going home crying because of that. Because kids tend to believe whatever adults tell them. And then the black community and minority communities, on the other hand, you know, there's also this message you can never succeed because there's always this evil white racism out to keep you down. America's a white racist country, there's this evil white racism out to keep you down. It can never succeed. It can never, you can never succeed. You can never do anything. You can never succeed because there's always this white racism there to keep you down. And so you see, the truth is, communists look at the world from a Marxist-like class perspective. And basically, like, there's a famous quote from the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx and Frank Engels. The quote is, "The history of the world is history of class struggles," what the book is the most famous quote from Karl Marx's book. And so, from the Marxist, from the communist perspective, there's always like an upper class and the lower class. There's always the bourgeoisie, the upper class, and the people, the proletariat, the masses. And it depends upon this victim mentality, this idea for communism to exist and to be, there needs to be a group of people to demonize as these capitalist exploiting pigs, as these for communism to exist, there needs to be a group of people to demonize as the bourgeoisie or the privileged or the top 1% or the upper class or whatever term that's used. And that's there in order to justify, for one thing, stealing from them through redistribution of wealth. And that's basically what it is. Once you demonize them and you say, oh, they're exploited people and they're these capitalist exploiting pigs, then anything to get that their money is justified. Even putting them before firing squad is justified. And you see, it's the same thing where you see white males have taken the position of the privileged bourgeoisie or whatever, and you see everybody else is like, you know, a pyramid of victimhood. It's like a pyramid of victimhood. Whoever gets the most victim points suddenly gets, you know, suddenly has the highest status among in the SJW, social justice warrior religion. That's the bottom line. Specifically, SJWs, they say, okay, women are victims, black people are victims, black women are double victims because they're black and they're women. And then these people are bigger victims, these people are bigger victims, and it's like a whole pyramid and stuff like that. That's why you see, for instance, on the one hand, you know, they say gay people are among the victims, and then when it comes to, for instance, like the Orlando shooting and stuff like that, you know, they're willing to have policies, like to even allow in, like to have open border policies to allow to the Muslim world, which, and many people coming in would include radical Muslims who believe homosexuals should be killed and stuff like that, and who would be more than happy to carry that out. And the left is willing to sacrifice gay people for that because, you know, they are higher in the victim status, basically. You see, the left only cares about gay people whenever they can demonize Christian conservatives, and whenever they can demonize conservatives, Christian conservatives in particular, and when they can demonize Americans who hold more traditional values or Americans specifically white Americans, but Americans, for instance, say that they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, when it comes to radical Muslims wanting to kill homosexuals, let's overlook that. That's why you see Obama, when he was president, after the Supreme Court decision, which has no constitutional basis legalizing gay marriage, Obama painted the White House the colors of the gay flag, even though for years before he was saying he was against gay marriage. But at the same time, Obama gave billions of dollars over to Iran, which is a global threat, and which also is a country that hangs homosexuals for being homosexuals on construction cranes. And the reason why that is because, you see, I mean, for one thing, Obama's loyalty was ultimately to the Muslim world, and it's because ultimately, you know, Muslims are achieving bigger victim status than gay people, so therefore gay people no longer matter here. I mean, that's basically how the SJW religion works. You get more victim points, you get more catered. I mean, the LGBT group holds pretty high victim points among the SJW religion. Specifically, you know, like transgender people who want to use the bathroom of the sex they identify with as opposed to the sex they actually are, they are pretty high on the victim status there. But nevertheless, like Muslims still score higher victim points than gay people, which is why, you know, the left will endorse some of the most homophobic movements, some of the most radical homophobic movements in the Muslim world, and some of the most homophobic regimes in the Muslim world that are enemies of Israel, America, and the West, while they condemn Israel, the only country in the region that has equal rights for gay people, and where gay prides are actually legal, and where gay prides, and the only place in the Middle East where gay prides actually happen. Anyway, you know, because, I mean, they condemn it, the left condemns Israel, which is the only place in the region where gay people have equal rights. The left wants to create this Palestinian state, which would be a terrorist state and homophobic as well. And you see, for instance, many homosexuals in the quote-unquote Palestinian territories flee to Israel for their safety. And the left still wants to create this homophobic state because, you know, Muslims have more victim status than gay people. You know, I can do a whole show about that, but that's for another time. Anyway, Sue Woods says, I don't know who this guy is, says, have a good chat with yourself about this old stuff. Oh, don't worry, I'll have a very good chat with myself about this stuff. Very good chat. And no, it's not just old news, it's relevant for today as well. And basically because I'm, you know, and look, and I'm introducing the show, and I'm going to open this up to the whole SJW thing, to the whole social justice thing. But what I'm talking about right now is general trends. Like, it's not so much of a chat with myself as, you know, it's a show that I'm hosting, and yeah. It is, it's really good to record and stuff like that, but whatever. You know, I was talking about this whole, I was saying, of course, you know, how, you know, the, you know, and getting back to the old news thing about what I was saying, I think it's relevant today because, I mean, ultimately, when it comes to the SJW social justice religion, it ultimately matters how much more victim points you have. And Muslims score higher than gay people, but, you know, as I said, I can do a whole show about that, but I'm not going to bother. Now, the problem is social justice with its version of enforced equality. You know, just like communism, for instance, like specifically leftists have at best whitewashed communist regimes. And when the communist regime's atrocities were well known to the world to the point where leftists even had to admit that they happened, whether it be Stalin's Russia or Pol Pot's Cambodia, what happened was then What happened was, and then the left would say, oh, it's not real communism, it's not real communism, it's not real communism because they didn't bring this utopia, instead it brought a lot of bloodshed. But all out of, like, the millions of people who were killed in communist countries, I think even billions, actually, I would say, and all the people who were in communist countries, could you really say that none of them were real communism? They all somehow distorted communism, and these left-wing idealists who say it's not real communism suddenly know better what was, for instance, real communism, what this utopia would look like. As I already explained, it was real communism because they needed a group of people to demonize as the upper class and as the bourgeoisie, and in order to steal from them through redistribution of wealth, and part of doing that is then once they demonize them, anything is seen as a spite against them, even putting them before firing squads. And you see, it's the same thing as well. You see that the SJW religion is essentially cultural Marxism, just like with, the communism and social justice believe in, for instance, equality of result. They believe in enforced equality and equality of result. And specifically, you see people on the left, for instance, complain about income inequality, they try to make the problems they complain about seem bad. They try to say, oh, income equality, economic justice, social justice, all sounds good. But the question is, what is income inequality? Income inequality is not a bad thing. Income inequality is basically a functioning economy in a nutshell, because there are jobs that pay more, people that work more hours, and people are going to make more money through working more hours or getting jobs that pay more. That's a natural thing. That's a natural thing. The natural thing. I'm just typing in the chat room in response to what Sue Wood said. I'm saying it's more about philosophy. Philosophy and trends than about current events. I was talking about income inequality, which overall is a good thing. I mean, the fact of the matter is, actually, some forms of inequality are good things. Some forms of inequality are good things. And no, I'm not saying that it's okay to discriminate against a specific racial group or a specific ethnic group or anything like that. Of course not. I fully support equality of opportunity, but I don't support equality of result. I think inequality in some areas, in some forms, I do believe in equality before the law, meaning equality of opportunity for one thing, and I am against discriminating against a specific group. What I mean is, some forms of inequality are natural, and some forms of inequality are actually good. Like income inequality is actually, I would say, a natural thing and also a good thing. And the reason why is because, think about it. How is income equality going to be enforced? How is it going to be enforced? Let's say you have jobs that pay more, people making more money. How are we going to enforce income equality? The only way to do that is to have the government take money at gunpoint from whoever is making more money, working at a job, paying more money to give that money to people getting less money from working at a job that pays less, in order to have income equality, in order to have equality result, which is basically what communism and social justice and is really about, equality of result. And so we see it's a specific vision of enforced equality and the specific idea of singling out groups of people as the privileged bourgeoisie, for instance, or like privilege or top 1% or whatever, that is the problem. It's not merely some people like Trigglypuff or some other like SJW idiots who need safe spaces and trigger warnings and yell whenever speakers who disagree with come at their events and stuff like that. I mean, they are a problem. But the problem is specifically, as I said, the specific vision that these people seek to carry out. And, you know, and a central pillar of the SJW religion is a victim pyramid, in which, of course, you see, like, it's stacked, where you get more victim points, you get more status. You're seen as more privileged, you get more demonized. White males are the ultimate privileged people. Black females are essentially, you know, high up in the victim status. Then comes transgender people. Then comes Muslims. You know, on and on and on and on and on. And you see, it's, you know, the SJW religion is based upon a Marx-like setting, for instance, where, as I said, Karl Marx said, the history of the world is the history of class struggle. And so, I'm going to upload some more audio files, but anyway, I'm just trying to just sort of taking a deep breath. But as I was saying, the SJW religion, as I said, it's based upon, it's cultural Marxism, it's based upon a Marxist-like setting. Whereas you have, like, the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie, the masses versus the top 1%. And, as I said, the SJW religion is based upon the Marxist-like setting, and their solutions ultimately is, you know, when they left to say economic, like, income inequality is a problem, you know, how do you solve, if it's a problem, how do you solve that problem? You can only do it through government taking, stealing from the point of a gun. Point of the matter, but as I already explained, specifically with income inequality is the result of any functioning economy, where, yes, you're going to have people, some people making more than others, because there are going to be some jobs paying more than others. I mean, that's how it is. I mean, people overall, I mean, the SJW religion also wants people to make people seem like they're the same. Want to say, oh, you know, there's no difference between men and women, even though there are plenty of differences between men and women. For instance, you know, here's an inequality you can say that comes from God, because I believe that God created the world, and I believe that everything that happens is a result of God's will. But, or if you're an atheist, you can say nature. Here's an inequality from biology. For instance, women pregnant men don't. Now I see with the whole transgender movement that now they want to try to say that, oh, men can get pregnant, and that they're like transgender men who get pregnant, when, you know, really they're not men, they're women who suffer from gender dysphoria, which is a severe mental illness. I'm not going to get into that. But even so, even with the anti-science transgender movement, stuff like that, it's a fact, for instance, that men can't get pregnant, women do get pregnant. And so, like, if a man's going to go out protesting that, like, you know, that he doesn't have the equal opportunity to feel, to know what it's like to be pregnant and know what it's like having a baby inside, then that man would, of course, look stupid. because of that, for decades, the pro-abortion movement was saying men can't talk about abortion because they don't get pregnant, because they don't have a uterus. If they don't have a uterus, they can't talk about abortion. But, you know, and of course I disagree with that argument, because the central question is the fetus in the womb human life? And I believe it is a human life. Ultimately, it is a human life. My view on abortion is I'm against abortion unless the pregnancy directly threatens the life of the mother, and abortion is the only way to save the mother's life. When the pregnancy directly threatens the life of the mother, and abortion is the answer to save the mother's life, then only then would I support abortion. But that's my view. But leaving that aside, the reason why I disagree with that argument is because, you know, how do I put it? I disagree with that argument because, first of all, I believe that God gave everybody a brain, and part of having a brain is analyzing and coming to conclusions. Just like, for instance, if, let's say, your neighbor gets robbed, you wouldn't say, of course, oh, he wasn't on my property, so I should not call the police because he wasn't on my property. You'd still grab the phone and call the police, for instance. And so, too, you know, if the fetus is a human life, then I think it is our business if abortion happens, if it's a human life, if it concerns another human life. It's like murder, of course, is our business if someone gets murdered. If someone gets murdered, of course, it's our business. Of course, what happens is our business, and of course, we would not want that to happen again, naturally. So the central question is this a fetus human life? And if it's a human life, then yeah, it is man's business as well as woman's business. If it's not a human life, as what the pro-abortion movement says, and if it's true that, like, let's say, the baby fairy comes and transforms what was once a merely clump of cells to a human life, then, you know, then yeah, then abortion is merely a woman's choice. And to be honest, we're all a clump of cells anyways. Science says that when sperm meets egg, that's what begins the creation of a new life. But I'm not going to go, you know, and... But I'm not going to go too much on that topic. For decades, the pro-abortion, pro-choice movement said men need to shut up on abortion because they don't have a uterus. You know, but you don't need a uterus to talk about the subject. You just need a brain. That's what I believe. It's not a uterus that leads you to conclusions. It's a brain that leads you to conclusions. It's a brain that analyzes the evidence that leads you to conclusions. It's not a uterus. So no, you don't need a uterus to talk about abortion. And men who are pro-choice, who are pro-abortion, or are quote-unquote pro-choice on this issue, you know, are still speaking about the issue, and are still taking a stance on the issue. But the thing is, but this argument is only used against men who are pro-life. Oh, you can't. Who are you to speak about it? You don't have a uterus. You don't need a uterus to come to a conclusion on this issue. You just need a brain. It's like anything. You don't need a uterus. We need a finger. We need a toenail or whatever to come to a conclusion. You need a brain. But, you know, before the left started promoting the whole radical transgender movement, through the whole LGBT thing. I mean, before they were already promoting the radical homosexual agenda, I'm not going to go into that. Before that, for decades, the left was saying men can't talk about abortion because they don't have a uterus. Now, with the whole transgender thing, where you can just identify, whereas you are whatever you identify as, then yeah, if you're a woman who gets pregnant, you identify as a man, then you are a man who gets pregnant according to the transgender movement. And so it looks like, you know, men now can't speak about abortion, apparently, because some men apparently do have uteruses. which is, of course, the whole ironic thing about the left. But, you know, what the point I was making is that, you know, before I went, and I kind of go on tangent to talk about this different stuff, but the point I was making is that pregnancy is an example of, for instance, something that women have that men don't have. Because the fact is we're not all the same. We don't all have the same qualities. And yes, in some ways we're unequal to from each other in certain respects, in certain qualities we have. Sometimes people are better at some in some fields than others, and other people are better at other fields than those other people, and on and on and on and on and on. And so, you know, inequality is what makes us not robots, which is something that the SJW religion wants to be, like robots, who are, you know, like so concerned about microaggressions and safe spaces. And here's another thing. Donald Trump is to the SJW religion as what Satan is to Christianity. Because just as you know, Christianity, Satan is supposedly the symbolic thing for all evil and stuff like that. You see the same thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a symbolic... To the average SJW, Donald Trump symbolizes like this evil racist Nazi who wants to destroy the SJW utopia. He's this evil racist Nazi who wants to deport people and do all this evil stuff and you know and stuff like that. And Donald Trump, and it's important to know that Donald Trump never called for deporting all Mexicans. And the people who Donald Trump are deporting, and the people who are being deported now are illegal immigrants with criminal backgrounds. Not even all illegal immigrants, but illegal immigrants with criminal backgrounds. Those are the people who are being deported. And I think that's important. That's the important point to make. As I said, Donald Trump is not someone who hates minorities. He's not someone who's going to create a fascist dictatorship that's going to resemble Nazi Germany. No, not at all. And look, I have absolute hatred of Nazi Germany. Absolute hatred. As anybody. As anybody should. You know, and Donald Trump resembles none of that. The fact that this has to be said, I think, is shameful. But the whole point, basically, is what I was saying is some forms of inequality are justified. That's not to say I support. That's not to say that I support the government being racist towards a certain ethnic group or towards a certain race. Or engaging in racist policies, of course not at all. But that is to say that, you know, that inequality of result, I support equality of opportunity, but inequality of result is the function of any economy that works. And inequality in skill is something natural that God gave us. And so that's the... overall, the truth of the matter. And yet, it's true that God ultimately did make men, overall, generally speaking, physically stronger than women. Of course, not to say there aren't women who are physically stronger than men. I mean, it would be a stupid thing to say. There's always, as a trend, there's always exceptions. But the point is, also with that, is some forms of inequality are natural. And some forms of inequality are good. This idea of enforced equality, which is what the communist regimes wanted and what the SJWs wanted, is this specific vision that led to the killing of millions of people, at least millions of people, in communist countries. And as I said, though it's not being carried out today, but though it's not being carried out today, but we can see it's still creating its own share of strife, its own damage to society in its own way, like, for instance, like, this whole idea of creating a victim pyramid, seeing people as victims and then others as the privileged, you basically demonize one group of people as the privileged, and then you coddle people, everybody else as victims. And it naturally creates division. It naturally creates strife, as I said, because people who are demonized are going to be tired of being demonized as the privileged, and tired of hearing that, like, for instance, oh, they're racist over anything they do, even if, for instance, they don't see that they're racist, they don't act racist, they're really racist subconsciously. They're really racist subconsciously. And, you know, for instance, like, on the one hand, having that, and then on the other hand, having, like, the other group of people being told they're victims and they can never succeed because of their skin color or whatever else. And as I said, you know, you're going to have anger on both sides. Which is why I think for any society, that's why I say it's important to treat people like individuals. I agree that racism is evil. I agree that racism is despicable and is evil. And I agree that, yes, historically speaking, America did have blemishes when it came to its treatment towards African-Americans, specifically during the days of slavery and Jim Crow. But the answer is not to have this... The answer is not to how to act like white people are racist over every time they sneeze. The answer is, you know, treat people like individuals, treat people with respect, and treat people with dignity and respect, and treat people like individuals. Ultimately, that's the answer. I believe in decency, I believe in kindness. I don't believe in the SJW religion. I mean, if a white person does not want to be racist, just treat everybody like individuals. Ultimately, try to be kind to everybody and treat people like individuals. Which is, of course, what Martin Luther King Jr., his I Have a Dream speech, that's what he said. He dreams of a day when his workers would grow up not when they're judged not by the color of their skin, but by the color of their character. And if you're mean to people basically because they're a different race than you, yeah, that makes you racist. But this OCD obsession on the part of like white people, some white people, obsessing over like every little thing they do, being racist. If they don't see it, oh, they're subconsciously racist, that's where, you know, things get too far. There are real racist people in America, just like there are real racist people everywhere. There are still these front idiots who post hateful posts and stuff like that. And it's a good thing. The KKK, I mean, look, the KKK was once a terrorist group and posed really a significant threat, specifically when they were lynching, when the KKK lynched African-Americans and those who fought for civil rights. But what I was going to say is it's a good thing now that the KKK no longer has the influence it once had. It's a good thing that the KKK is now composed merely of a bunch of idiot racist losers in their mother's basement who don't have any significance, and it's a good thing that they're, and it's most importantly a good thing that they're shunned by society. And yeah, you know, they better have them post racist crap on Stormfront or on these other sites than have them actually go around lynching people. That goes without saying. I mean, as I said, this radical vision of equality, of enforced equality, from the SJW religion, from social justice and communism and these ideologies on the left that resemble any of that, is basically what leads to evil. Basically is what leads to evil, is the point I want to make. And so the problem, as I said, is not, oh, dictators are not actual communists, whether that was the argument back then, like, oh, Stalin and Pol Pot were not actual communists, you know, and now it's, you know, all these SJWs are just, they're not actually fighting for social justice. They just represent a small fringe, an insignificant fringe, and the left wants to focus on them being a fringe more than on fighting for, to protect free speech from these privileged snowflakes. Specifically, when these SJWs go around shutting down events, disrupting speakers, and bullying people, you know, and doing all sorts of stuff like that, and creating all sorts of havoc, the left wants to more quote unquote reasonable leftists want to focus on them being a fringe more than on more than on actually combating the damage that these SAWs do. You know, so we see it's the same thing there, but you know, but as I said, the problem, as I said, is not some people on college campuses with mental problems who can't take hearing an opposing view and need safe speech and trigger warnings. The problem, as I said, is social justice and the values that it stands for of enforced equality, because their policies that they want literally, ultimately leads to bigger government and less freedoms and less individual freedoms. And it depends upon mob justice. I mean, social justice is really mob justice. That's what it is. In the name of enforced equality, in the name of conformity, in the name of everybody's the same, because for everybody to be equal, everybody has to be exactly the same. They can't be different. If you're better at something, that's an inequality. If you, let's say, like provide a different job and you pay more, or you work for someone who pays more, that's an inequality, and the goes against the SJW. The social justice religion, ultimately. So I know this was always, so the problem is not people with mental cases, the problem is social justice.